This podcast contains explicit language. Viewer discretion is advised.
He got the shot off! Throw it!
He runs with the 50. He runs with the 40. The guy is drunk.
Here we go.
Turn it up.
You're listening to the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast with your host, Josh Lozano.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast, part of the Belly Up Sports Network. I'm your host, Josh Lozano. I just want to say thank you for tuning in. I took a little bit of a break, a hiatus. It was basically my off season. I know I labeled this as a sports podcast, but it's mostly just an NBA podcast, and we sprinkle in some sport, other sports from time to time. I decided to take a break. News on my personal life, piercing the veil for the audience. I was applying for a different job. Luckily, I got it. I'm really happy about that. It's going to allow me some more free time, so I'll be able to make more of these episodes, but I really just wanted to take a break and, you know, just spend some time with some people and work on some stuff while the NBA was off. But now it's just right around the corner. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm really amped to be reporting on it again and just making stupid jokes and giving good quality bets too. I got a lot planned. The draft is coming up November 18th. This weekend, I'm going to be releasing a draft, basically a draft analysis with a couple of guys who have been killing it. Like, they have just been some draft hounds. They got these full reports. I'm going to link all the resources for that. So that way too, if you haven't really been following it, I get it, because it's sneaking up, then you'll have everything that you need to know about the draft. I got some stuff planned where I'm going to be talking about, you know, over unders, win totals. I'm going to have some people on talking about specifically follow one team. I'm going to try and get a breakdown of every team. It's not going to be full episodes, but yeah, I got a lot planned, but this episode is more kind of just like a introduction back into recording. It's just going to be me talking. I'm basically just going to run through, there's going to be three parts of the show. I'm going to talk about the league housekeeping first, basically some of the recent changes and announcements that they made with the shorthand season. Then I'm going to cover dramatic coaching carousel that we've just recently had, all the shifting of the decks. Where these guys go, what I think their fits are, you know, like Doc Rivers now going to Philadelphia. He's going to be coaching Embiid and Simmons. How's that fit going to be going? Mike D'Antoni's an assistant. He's an assistant to Steve Nash. Steve Nash now is a head coach. Like, there's just so many things that happened while I was gone. My bad, gentlemen. I did not do you guys justice for that, but now I'm back and we're going to, I just really going to hit the ground running. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is just typical offseason stuff, like the trade rumors we're hearing. They're saying Westbrook is gonna, he wants out of the Houston. He wants to be number one. And then you hear another report that's, you know, no one wants that Westbrook contract because it's too much money. No one wants the Westbrook contract. So we'll break it. We'll go through that. But let's start with what's most important, what makes the whole league run, which is the money, the finances of it. So Adam Silver and the NBA higher powers agreed to a shortened 72-game schedule upcoming. They said the tentative date is they want to start at December 22nd, which you're like, whoa, that's right around the corner. And it is right around the corner. This puts teams, which I'll get to later when I do the over-unders, this puts teams, because usually the price of paying a championship is you get taxed by, you just get so much more wear and tear on your body. Like, when you win the championship and then you finally go on vacation, these other guys, these other players have been training for months almost, depending how early you get out. Like, if you got out first early round or you didn't even make the playoffs, you go on your vacation and then you're back, you know, you're back to it. You're back to the grind. So for these guys, you know, they're still unwinding down. Like Jimmy Butler, LeBron, all these guys are still, yeah, they're working out and they're staying in shape, but, you know, they're just enjoying themselves a much the needed deserved break, especially after the mental gymnastics of being in that bubble compared to teams like Philadelphia who, you know, they kind of ended their season early because they were hurt. How's this going to play out? I think they're going to come out the gates running compared to teams like Miami and the Lakers, who I think are going to be a little bit coming out flat. But 72-game schedule, they set the salary cap at $109.1 million. The luxury tax is capped at $132.6 million, right? Basically, Adam Silver and the league mirrored the 2019-20 season cap, which is great. Because if you told me that, hey, after an international crisis where Daryl Morey was hashtag free Hong Kong, right? So you have all that revenue gone. Then you had a pandemic, which basically just canceled a ton of games. So here, I actually got the numbers. This Chicago-based sports intelligence firm called Team Marketing Report, I'm going to just call them TMR, they said they estimated that the NBA in the 258 canceled regular season games lost a grand total of $694 million. I'm going to say that one more time. $694 million from the 258 canceled regular season game. The average loss in fan income per team across the NBA was $22.9 million, right? And they said estimated teams like the Lakers lost around $53 million, while, you know, the Charlotte Hornets and whatnot averaged a lot less. Now, when you see stuff like that, you're just like, I'm very happy. I'm pretty impressed that the salary cap didn't go down. That you're still just working with what you got. But the NBA can't afford to do a bubble. They just can't. They need the revenue from fans. It really put the players through a lot of mental, because Gordon Hayward had to miss his, he was there for his newborn, but then he wasn't, he had to leave, right? Because he had the playoffs going. And then I'm just laughing because, we know that, he got bounced. So you're sitting there like, oh, maybe you should have stayed with the kid, but you don't know that. That's why you leave so you can go play. And then you have guys like Alex Crusoe who missed his sister's wedding. I mean, there's a huge laundry list of players doing that, right? And they go through the mental gymnastics of being away from their family and just 24/7 nonstop basketball. And then you tune in and you see the NFL and these guys are getting COVID left and right, but at least they're able to have their freedom of being with their family doing that. And then you see things that's crazy, like Justin Turner on the Dodgers is playing with COVID. This guy is red COVID hot mid game. This guy's COVID hot mid game. His bat's hot. He's hot. And then they go and they pull him halfway through the game because they're like, hey, man, that inconclusive test we got yesterday, we tested you this morning, test came back and said it's positive, we need to pull you. After this guy's already been playing, they're sharing bats, they're basically kissing each other in the dugout. And then after they win the World Series, Justin Turner still comes on the field. He comes on the dirt where everyone's kids and families are playing, right, and celebrating. They're over here getting their like saliva on the balls, which they're throwing back at the kids and they're catching it. So you see that and then position what the type of care the NBA did. You just got to give them some credit, but it's just not something they can't financially do and something I just don't think the players want to do, right? With the shortened 72-game schedule, every team is going to lose about 5 home games, and that translates to about $13.5 million in lost revenue. The TMR calculates that the average NBA team makes $2.7 million per game. That accounts for the regular, season tickets, premium tickets, foods, drinks, foam fingers. Maybe you get your girl that jersey so she can stop wearing yours. All that kind of good jazz. That's what they estimate. The NBA is trying to make up all that revenue. They're shooting for about 25 to 50% capacity. I think that's a little bit overambitious, especially because COVID is just the trajectory of it's just hot. You got places like Utah who's on lockdown. And I think it's going to be difficult because you have states like Florida where Governor DeSantis was, he called up the Miami Dolphins. Hey, listen, I'm popping champagne. I got this whole COVID thing under control. You guys are green light permission to open up at full capacity. And the Miami Dolphins were like, yeah, we would if we can get enough players. I mean, enough fans in the stadium. And also, we're just going to choose to keep opening at limited capacity. Thank you, though, for the approval. Same thing with Texas. Texas, they're really allowing their, that's why a lot of these events are being held at Texas, as the World Series was, because they're allowed to have fans. Now, Los Angeles, I think they're going to be playing in empty arenas where all you're going to be able to hear is sneakers. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what's going on, the juxtaposition. How are they going to handle the playoffs? Are they going to put the playoffs in a bubble like the MLB did? They're already saying how it's going to work, which I think is pretty cool for the regular season, is you're going to basically play all the teams that you're close by, MLB style, consecutively, and you're going to play your opponents back to back. So just like in baseball where you play series, for example, maybe the Sacramento Kings are going to be playing the Golden State Warriors, but they'll be playing the Golden State Warriors 4 times in a row. Well, you're already in the California area. You might as well knock out the Lakers, the Clippers, and then so on and so forth. Now, when the Kings travel east, you're going to stay east. So you play the Miami Heat, your 2 games, and then maybe you go play the Orlando Magic, and then you go play, you go up and you play Atlanta, that kind of stuff. That's the plan that they're doing. So we'll see. I think it's going to be very interesting, especially the series, because it's basically just going to be like a mini playoffs, which I think that's going to be really cool. It's going to add a little wrinkle to the weird season, because the goal for the NBA is to basically have a season this time. You might whiff it a little bit, but next season, hopefully vaccine, you could have close to full capacity and you could start on time, because the NBA learned a valuable lesson that they just cannot compete with the NFL. They cannot compete with the juggernaut that is football in the United States just yet. And also, you don't want to be competing with baseball, football, all these other sports, because it was great for us fans to just have such a sensory overload of sports. But all those, if you look at it, they all had historically low ratings. Granted, it was also an election year, and you're competing with nine other sports. You got NASCAR going on. The tennis, French Open was going on while all this. So if the NBA can just have their own spotlight, that's their goal. Okay, that's basically all I had. Let me check my notes real quick. I think that's all I had for the housekeeping. Now let's talk about the fun stuff. The trade rumors and the coaches, right? So we got so this is exciting stuff. We got a plethora of different coaches going to new locations. We got all these saucy trade rumors for the offseason. But we'll start with the coaches right now. So one of my personal favorite coaches is Stan Van Gundy, just for this amazing quote when he was the Pistons coach.
We just form a fucking wall.
It's probably up there with the whole Magic Johnson, the sound effect he makes when he describes a no-look pass. The little... This is probably my top two, but Stan Van Gundy got hired. He's the new Pelicans head coach. My quick analysis, I'll give a bit of breakdown in the later episodes, is because I'm just going to run through these coaches real quick. Stan Van Gundy, I think he's an upgrade to Alvin Gentry. I think Alvin Gentry is inept as a head coach. He would just do things that would question, like the argument was, oh, Alvin Gentry never had a healthy roster on the Pelicans. But even when they were healthy, I just feel he wouldn't reach their full potential. And he would do things where, like, I forgot what game it was in the bubble. I think it was against the Sacramento Kings, where Alvin Gentry's team was down, right? I don't know who stole the ball. I believe it was Lonzo. Lonzo stole the ball. Instead of letting him play out on a fast break where no one was in front of Lonzo, it's an easy 2 points, he calls a timeout. So therefore, he took away two guaranteed points and then wasted a timeout. It's just stuff like that. Alvin Gentry, I just don't think, was a good coach for the Pelicans. Stan Van Gundy, he's been out of the game for a minute. Some of his accolades was he did go to the 2009 finals. He led that Dwight Howard team where he really was playing inside out. And he had Dwight Howard with four shooters, Jameer Nelson, all those guys. I think what Stan Van Gundy's just been known for, he's just always been known to maximize his big men, right? He's had these guys like Andrew Drummond, Dwight Howard. Now he has Zion, who you could say was Zion. You know, is he the forward of what a new big man is going to be in the league? Is he even a big man? He's like only 6 foot six. He plays, but we'll see. I think Van Gundy's an upgrade from Alvin Gentry. I'm really curious to see what he does with that roster, especially because I think the best thing to go with Zion's maybe just going inside out, like what they did back in Orlando. But I'm really curious. I need to see what they do first. I also need to see what David Griffin is going to do with the roster, right? Van Gundy, though, I'll say upgrade on Alvin Gentry. Next is Mike D'Antoni finally decided, you know what? I had enough of this Rockets thing. Fertitta, you're a cheapskate. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, sayonara. This whole small ball thing, whatever. And he is now the assistant coach to Steve Nash. He is Steve Nash's assistant coach on the Brooklyn Nets. I think that's just crazy to think about, because you just remember that quote from Kyrie Irving saying, like, do I really need a coach? Do we really need a coach? And you're just like, oh boy, here it goes. And then you hear the news that Steve Nash comes in. My quick analysis about it is this an upgrade from Kenny Atkinson? No. Kenny Atkinson is an experienced coach. He was able to really get the most out of those young guys like Jared Allen. He really built a winning culture, like a young culture of we all eat, but you don't want a coach like that, which I understand when you have these superstars. You know, Kenny Atkinson was kind of, which we heard after Spencer Dinwiddie had a crazy 30-40 point night prior to the bubble, he was upset with Kenny Atkinson because he said, you know, Kenny Atkinson makes it so, he didn't say it verbatim, but he's like, you know, Kenny Atkinson makes it so we don't really know our roles. Like, Kenny Atkinson's the whole point is like anybody tonight can go off. You know, it can be LeVert, it can be Dinwiddie, doesn't really matter. But it sounds like KD and Kyrie really wanted a guy that will like help them have a pecking order and a hierarchy. So, and the Nets really, really wanted to focus and really make KD, Kyrie happy. So I get the whole Steve Nash hiring. I think Steve Nash is a basketball savant. He's a genius. I think that offense for that team is going to be phenomenal. Even if they didn't have Steve Nash, now I'm just thinking it's going to be, it's good. My only concern though with Steve Nash, is going to be how is he going to be able to control all those personalities? I'm one of those guys that roots for Steve Nash. I hope he does well. So we'll see how that goes. Some of the other ones I'll run through real quick. Tom Thibodeau. Tom, I will grind your knees to a pulp. Thibodeau is now the head coach of the New York Knicks. We'll see how that goes. Tom Thibodeau to me doesn't seem like a guy that really is good at fostering young talent, molding them. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson. Thibodeau to me shows that, because Tom Thibodeau, we always give him credit that like, oh, he's a defensive genius. Like this is the architect of that phenomenal championship 08 Boston Celtics team for Doc Rivers. And then we saw him foster a championship caliber defense on the Chicago Bulls when he had guys. But this is my argument. If you look at the roster, those guys just are great defenders, even if Tom Thibodeau didn't instill a good system. It's Joakim Noah, Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, guys like Luol Deng. They had a roster that was just built for defense. You saw what happened on the Minnesota Timberwolves when Tom Thibodeau was given a roster of guys that who weren't stout defenders. So now I'm really curious sitting here, what is he going to do for this young Knicks team? Because when Tom Thibodeau was given a young roster with the Minnesota Timberwolves, he wasn't really able to produce with it. They were horrible. They were infighting. They had the whole famous Jimmy Butler. He played with the reserves and beat the starters. So I'm really curious, maybe, you know, as you get older as a coach, you get a little bit wiser. So maybe Tom Thibodeau learned a few things from his rough patch with the Timberwolves. He learned how to coach a younger team, which is what he's going to need to do on this Knicks team, because they're not a win now ready team. Billy Donovan is now the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. I think that's an easy upgrade from Jim Boylan. He had the whole incident where, you know, well, now Billy Donovan's the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. I think that's a dramatic upgrade from Jim Boylan. I don't have too much to talk about that. One thing I do want to get to is Doc Rivers and Ty Lue. Doc Rivers is now the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. It's going to be very interesting because Daryl Morey is also the GM. I think that's going to be an interesting combo. Doc Rivers, to me, has always been a really good leader, a really good recruiter. He always seems to get guys to come and want to play with them, but I just don't see him always maximizing it. One issue with Doc Rivers is he's an old school coach, so he's really loyal, really, really loyal to a fault. And you saw that with Montrezl Harrell. He would keep playing Montrezl Harrell, and he would keep playing Lou Will, despite Lou Will not being hot and missing a lot of shots, and Montrezl Harrell just getting destroyed on the defensive end by the Denver Nuggets. Jokic and Jamal Murray were just putting Montrezl Harrell in the pick and roll and just abusing him. Doc Rivers refused to make any type of substitution. Granted, I get it. Personnel, it's hard because what other option do you have other than Montrezl Harrell, Zubac? And I think that Doc Rivers is an upgrade from Brent Brown. I'm curious to see what kind of system he's going to instill with Ben Simmons and Embiid, because he hasn't had a roster dynamic like this. So if you look at what he used to do with the Clippers, is he going to try and mimic like a new version of Lob City? I doubt it. We'll see. That's something I'd really want to dive in more and get some people on that really follow the Sixers to talk about. That's what I'm curious. Ty Lue now got the promotion. He got bumped up. He's now the head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. Steve Ballmer was no hesitation to basically fire Doc Rivers after what happened. And I get it. He's like a new owner. And one thing too is he's not from the basketball world. He's from a totally different world. He's from Microsoft. He's an old Microsoft CEO. And what happens if, you know, the guy you hire doesn't meet your sales quota or doesn't meet the metrics? You fire him and you find someone who can. So he really came in and brought that CEO mentality to the Clippers. He's pumping in a lot of money. They're doing a bunch of ads. They're, you know, building a new arena. They bought the Forum Center just to have an opportunity to build a new arena. So he's coming in there. He's pumping all this money. He wants to win now. He bumped up Ty Lue. Ty Lue has that championship pedigree because he won a ring with LeBron. So now the question is like, oh, can he do it with Kawhi? I'm very interested to see what they do with that roster. I think they got to make some tweaks. You could see the big knock on that team is they just didn't have a primary ball handler, someone to really facilitate the offense to, because Kawhi and Paul George can handle the ball. But this is real life basketball. This isn't a game of 2K where you could just give those to the ball and just make them your ball handler. You need a guy to help you in the offense. And I think that we're going to definitely see some pieces move. One of the like rumor mill was that Chris Paul might be going to the Clippers. I think that would be very interesting. His second hurrah with the team with no Doc Rivers. But this time, he'll be the third fiddle behind Paul George and Kawhi. I think that'll be very, very, very interesting. And, you know, I'll use that as my segue to basically talk about a couple of the rumors that we've been hearing in the NBA offseason. So big rumor that we're hearing is Houston, we got a problem. Russell Westbrook is disgruntled. He doesn't like his role. He wants to be the primary ball handler, the guy that could facilitate through. That's what Shams was reporting. Then a couple minutes later, everyone was doing Russell Westbrook trade rumors, Russell Westbrook trade machines, doing all that. And then Shams came out with another report a couple hours later saying nobody wants Russell Westbrook for because of his contract. It was either Shams or Brian Windhorst. But they're saying nobody likes that Westbrook contract, which makes sense. It's a huge, huge commitment for a guy that's basically on the downturn decline. Granted, he was an all-NBA player this year, but he's a player on decline. I could definitely see him getting moved. I could definitely see the Rockets just doing a fire sale and just completely turning over the team. I just think that I think it would be very interesting. Some of the rumors were saying he could go to Charlotte. I hope that doesn't happen. If he goes to Charlotte, it would just be because he wants to be the man. I hope that he kind of had his fill and experience of that at OKC. I can see him going to the Knicks too, because then he could be the man on the biggest stage in the NBA in the Garden. But I hope he doesn't do that either. I hope somehow they're able to facilitate a trade and Pat Riley can get his hands on him and kind of just put Russell Westbrook through the car wash, if that makes any sense. Like clean up Russell Westbrook on the basketball court, like teach him the Heat culture, Heat mentality, because I think he would fit perfect with Jimmy Butler and all those guys. Surround him with all those shooters like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, but really just teach him, you know, just work on him not being so sloppy and work on him not being as selfish, because that's the big knock on Russ. Like Russ is a phenomenal player. Russ can, if you look at the stats, you'd be like, holy shit, Russell Westbrook, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Like, wow. But then you look at, oh, wow, he's like 20 for 40 on shot attempts. Or not even that. That's actually giving him too much credit. He'll be 14 for 40. That's more like Russell Westbrook's been shooting. So we'll see about that. There was rumors that Harden's disgruntled, and then that's got squashed quick, where he's like, oh, no, Harden wants to stay. Other rumors that we're hearing is there's all this Victor Oladipo drama. They're saying him and Miles Turner aren't getting along. Victor Oladipo's being asked to, which he refutes, he denies any of this is being said, but they're saying Victor Oladipo, when he sees other teams, he's dapping them up and being like, oh, you know, can't wait to play with you. Basically pulling an Odell Beckham. The Victor Oladipo thing is rumors. We don't know if that's true. The Odell thing isn't, because we caught him on hot mic saying things like, oh, you know, I'd be great to be catching some passes from you. So we'll see about that. One thing that I can see the Pacers doing is I can see the Pacers trading for Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward's from Indiana. Pacers are never going to sign a free agent. It's just true. You're going to have to trade for him. And I think that the Boston's in the market for center. They're probably looking at their roster. If I was Boston, I'd be looking at that roster and being like, hey, we were pretty close to making it to, you know, we have all the pieces, what we think. The only thing that is missing to couple with our superstar two-way offensive and defensive tandem of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, is we just center liabilities. Either Daniel Tice would foul out and we just can't play him all the time, or Enes Kanter, who's great on offense, is a defensive liability. Then you have Edwards. So I think that trading for Miles Turner could be the move, especially because he's a floor spacing. He's like a prototypical, you know, he'll block some shots, hit some threes. I think that would be perfect for that. That's an interesting trade to keep on the lookout for. Another interesting trade that they're talking about is they're saying Chris Paul can get shipped out. We know that was bound to happen. OKC, they want to be as bad as possible, and they want to just stack up as much assets and build around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And Chris Paul, I mean, why would you not want Chris Paul other than he has a fatty contract? But now it's only 1 year. Technically, it's a 1+1 because it's a player option. But I think you could talk to Chris Paul and explain to him, like, hey, man, like Sam Presti, you can talk to Chris Paul and be like, you would be a much more attractive suitor if you promise up and down that you just won't take that player contract. And I think a lot more teams would bite on a 1 year rental on Chris Paul, knowing he'll decline that player contract. Some of the landing spots they were hinting to was he can go to the Knicks, he can go to the Suns, he can go to the Lakers, which I doubt, or he can go to the Clippers. My top two guesses, it's going to be the Suns or the Clippers. If he goes to the Suns, that'd be cool. He would basically be just building and mentoring Kelly Oubre, Devin Booker, all those guys, show them how to be winners. That would be cool, you know, whatever. It would be like the legacy of Chris Paul is just mentoring all these guys. But I don't want that to be his legacy. I want him to, you know, chase a ring, get a title. People forget Jason Kidd didn't win a ring until he was 40 on the Mavericks. Like, this guy was, like, Jason Kidd was dirt old, basically. Gary Payton was a dirt old point guard when he won his first ring on the Miami Heat. Like, I want dirt old Chris Paul to be ring chasing. I want him on the Clippers. I want him, like, back there. I want him on the Lakers if that's possible, but I just don't see the Lakers doing that, especially recently with there's rumors that the Lakers are really interested in DeMar DeRozan. So we'll see. All these trade rumors I'm going to break down a little bit better more, especially when we get more information about it. But I think that's going to be, I think Chris Paul is like guaranteed movable. One thing that's interesting is I know we keep tying the Miami Heat, but another guy on the OKC that can get shipped is Danilo. Because Miami Heat had their eyes on him. He could be getting shipped out. So there's that. I think it's going to be very, very, very interesting. I'm super excited to have Hoops back. I'm basically wrapping up. I just wanted to kind of get my feet wet by making a quick episode before the weekend. Sometimes you guys can listen to and just know that, you know, just know that I'm still alive. I'm still making episodes. Just had to take a little break. But, you know, I'm glad to be back. It's good to be back. I'm super excited to be talking hoops. So be on the lookout. And I'm going to be trying to do a weekly episode again, hopefully every Tuesday. If it's not every Tuesday, I'll let you know what the new schedule is. But thank you for listening. And let's enjoy the NBA offseason, which is the greatest offseason in sports.